This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of
hope. AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Into these things, angels long to look into these things. Angels long to look into these things, the glory of Jesus. He has given us new birth into a living hope through his resurrection from the dead. He has given us new birth into inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In this we greatly rejoice. Even though we suffer grief and trials, we have genuine faith. We are filled with joy. We love him. We believe in him. We believe in him. Even though we have not seen his face,
we are receiving the glory of our faith.
And angels long to look into these things,
into the matters of God.
Angels long to look into these things.
Ah, he will save.
Angels long to look into these things. The glory of Jesus. The prophets intently searched with the greatest care to find the time when Christ would come. It was not revealed to those who were searching. But now we know the glory of the Son concerning this salvation.
The grace that has come to us, praise God.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis 34, verse 13 to 22.
Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them,
"We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will enter into an agreement with you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go."
Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's family, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to the men of their city.
"These men are friendly toward us,"
they said.
"Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them.
We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours. But the men will agree to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are."
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis 34, verse 13 to 22.
What do you choose? Eternal damnation in hellfire or eternal life in a golden city? Hell was not made for any man but the devil. Dear listener, don't allow him to deceive you to sin, to join him in hell. accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, get baptized into a true Bible-believing church, and live daily for the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit, your eternal life will be guaranteed. God bless you.
Welcome once again to your favorite program, You Decide. Once again, I have with me my abled and seasoned panelists, and we are going to talk about judgment. The previous weeks been discussing rapture. Right now, we are going to do judgment. Today too, I have here Pastor A.Y. Abraham Koka. Pastor, you're welcome. Michael Akwabua, you're welcome. Isaac Tre is here. You're welcome. Isaac Efriye is here. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I am your host, Thomas Isaac. What is the judgment?
Maybe as a prelude to the judgment, I think we will want to revisit the statement in Hebrews 9:27-28, where it says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, judgment. But having said that, judgment must begin in the house of God. And in that particular text, it says that if God begins at the saint, what will be the fate of those who never believe the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Now, judgment, as we see it, is more of an inquiry, or what may be an inquisition, whatever it is, by our lifestyle, by our belief, we are actually recording or putting a certain amount of information as to whether we qualify for heaven or disqualify. Now, judgment is about looking into the account. We have in Revelation and in Malachi, the book of life, the book of remembrance. So there are books in which are chronicled every activity, every action and inaction. Whatever we do, God has a record. Hebrews 4:13 say everything is naked before God, to whom we must give account.
Wow.
So judgment is accounting time.
Accountability.
Time, yes, it's accountability, transparency. It is the time. Actually, the records are set straight, whether by the way we lived, whether we were actually hypocrites, we were making people believe religion, whether we were having double allegiance, or whether we truly were loyal to the Lord. Judgment, it's account time, when the records will be put straight. And the fact is that all of us will appear before the judgment seat. And that is the thing we need to put straight. What does it mean to appear before the judgment seat? Are we physically going to go before the Lord to really account that they will take each one of us and will give an account? But the fact is, by our lifestyle, some account is already being taken. And there will be a day when all the records will be put straight.
Okay.
But another thing that we need to know is that Jesus at his coming already has rewards with him. So some proud judgment will have taken place, because he can't give rewards when he hasn't judged. So those are the background.
Wow.
To
judgment. In fact, I have just gotten so many things all in one presentation right now. Michael, Pastor has given us a lot about the judgment. And I feel like it's almost 90%, right? Or you have a different facet of the judgment to give to us.
Let me present the site of judgment to our dear listeners as we experienced in last year, 2013. You know, when we talk about judgment, I think Ghanaians, as we know, from March 2013, August 14th, what happened in Ghana? We had a court case which the Daily sat investigating into issues, presenting cases and arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And the bench said that give us about 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
We will also come for you to address you. That is the pronouncement of verdict. Judgment in itself takes place whilst we are living. For instance, let's read something from Job chapter 19, verse number 25 and 26, which Job presenting his life before the Lord, that whatever I am going through, I know that a day will be coming that my Redeemer will stand for me and he will vindicate my case, and those who are accusing me wrongly will know whether I am guilty or not. So judgment in this context can be defined as subjecting one's act into scrutiny and proving well he faulted or well he was righteous before the Maker. Judgment also can be talked about as even making decisions and separation of thoughts. We can also make judgment in that context. But here, as we are discussing, we are dealing with our relationship to God and the laws he has given us and what he requires of us. So judgment in this presentation, we are going to talk about what the Lord requires of us and how we live our lives, and one day we must render an account of whatever we have used the life he gave us for.
And one day we have to render account of what we have used our lives for. We'll go on a very short break. When we come back, I'm going to hear from the two Isaacs what judgment is. I am your host, Thomas Isaac. Thank you very much for coming today, my able and seasoned panelists. We know that in matters of faith, you decide.
It was the truth. It was nothing but the truth. Only truth comes from you.
It was the truth.
It was nothing but the truth, and it's all that you can do.
Only truth. Loving truth.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Voice of
See you.
Dear listener, you are welcome to Moment of Truth. Sit back, relax, while I present to you a continuation of Dr. Kranting Pepem's sermon on Count the Cost.
Another assumption behind our decisions is some of us think God's law is not ideal in a sinful world. Sometimes there are inevitable conflicts in God's requirements. Have you heard that before? Well, we live in a sinful world. God's commandments, if we live in an ideal world, you know, we would do this. Well, the technical term for this is conflicting absolutism. I don't want to bug you with this. It is the view that God's Ten Commandments are not perfect in a sinful world. Sometimes they clash. You have to choose between obedience to your mother or lying. They clash. Do they really clash? They don't. But we have been programmed into thinking God's laws are flawed. But dear friends, the Bible says the Ten Commandments were given to us in our sinful conditions. First John tells us the law is not grievous. Romans 7:12 says it is holy, it is just, it is good. They are for our being. When God says, thou shalt not kill. Actually, another way of reading that commandment is you can also read it as a promise. You can also read it, you shall not kill. I am going to enable you by my power that you can actually live without lying, without killing, or without stealing. There are absolutes, and God's absolutes are binding upon us in this sinful world. If that's clear, say amen. Amen. Another assumption behind our decision is we say, well, sometimes we have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Have you heard that one before? Are we ever faced with a choice between two evils? Never. Moral choices, there are always right or wrong. Every issue, right or wrong. You see, if you believe in this so-called lesser of two evils, moral evils, then you face a major problem. Did Jesus have to choose between lesser of two evils? If you say yes, it means at one point Jesus chose evil, he sinned. But the Bible says he never sinned. And if you say Jesus never faced it, then how can he be our example when we face it and he never faced it? The point is, no one is ever faced with a choice between lesser of two evils. Any choice you face, it is between one evil, wrong, and one right. Every single one. There is always a right way and a wrong way. If that's clear, say amen. Another assumption behind the choices we made is we think that some of God's Ten Commandments are more important than others. See, we don't say it, but that is what drives us. Well, we all know lying is wrong, but it's not as bad as killing. Who said so? It's we. James says, whosoever breaks any one of the commandments has done what? Has broken all. By the way, there is an ethical system on this. It is called pyramidalism, where people build the Ten Commandments into a law pyramid. The technical term for it is hierarchicalism, where a person sits down and constructs, well, killing is bad. Lying is not too bad. Adultery, well, in the 21st century, is not too bad. Premarital. So we created, you know, this hierarchy. But the Bible hasn't created a hierarchy. For the Bible, all 10 are a whole. They reflect the character of God. You cannot steal from God. You cannot kill anyone to honor him. It is a philosophical system we have been taught without thinking it through. There is no such thing as selective obedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. That's what James says. Whosoever keeps all and breaks one, he is guilty of how many? All. But once again, this is an assumption we base our decision on. Another assumption we base our decision on is we must avoid pain at all costs. Have you heard that one? Well, the Lord knows that we have to avoid pain and suffering at all costs. Who said so? Nowhere do you find this in the Bible. And yet some of us have believed this lie. So that when we come to making decisions, we say, well, the Lord knows that if I break up with my boyfriend who is committing immoral acts with me, it will cause me too much pain. Therefore, Lord, you understand. See, the philosophical system behind this is called utilitarianism. It is based on pleasure-pain principle. You know, any decision, avoid pain. And if it avoids pain or immediate pain, it's okay. The Bible doesn't teach that. On the contrary, the Bible teaches that sometimes we will have to suffer. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who live godly shall suffer persecution. It is the mark of Christian identity that often obedience can cost you. Jesus says, in this world, you will suffer trials and tribulation, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. Suffering, pain is sometimes the lot of a person who chooses to obey God. Don't make your decision based on, well, I want to avoid pain as much as possible. Your decision ought to be, I want to do God's will, whether in pain or in joy. There is a song which says, take time to be holy. Speak often with your Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. And then one of the lines says, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. That is biblical Christianity. We must follow the Lord, even if it hurts. You lose your job. You lose your education. You lose your relationship. Do the right thing, regardless. If that is clear, say amen. Oh, by the way, someone came to me and said, there are some music on holiness, and I want the lyrics. So praise the Lord, people are talking about holiness, at least in some hit songs. Another assumption we make is, we must save life at all costs. Have you heard that one before? Well, the Lord knows that I have to save my child's life. I have to save my own life from starvation. I don't want to die, so I will kill anyone who wants to kill me. We must save life at all costs. This has become the 11th commandment for many Christians. But is it biblical? The Bible never teaches you must save life at all costs. The Bible, in contrast, teaches you must be faithful at all costs. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death. What we are to do at all costs is a loving obedience. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Your duty in life is to lovingly obey him at all costs. Whether you die or live, follow him. Don't make your decision based on saving life at all costs. You must save life only when the means you use is in harmony with God's will. Are you following? Why did we answer the way we answered? Another reason for this is some of us base our decisions on the examples of Bible characters in similar situations. Is it ever okay to lie to save life? And immediately you get some people say, yes, why? Sister Rahab lied to save the spies' life. Well, Abraham lied and said, you know, Sarah is not my wife, she's my sister. Polygamy, well, it's okay to baptize them. Why? Because Abraham had two wives. What you don't know is he had to let Hagar go. David, well, he had about 10 wives. What you don't know from the Bible is when he got converted, he had to let them go. And every single one of them, Is it ever okay to kill? Well, the Jews kill, therefore killing is okay. Capital punishment? Yeah, Israel had capital punishment, therefore it's okay. Don't follow Bible characters when they were doing wrong. Follow Bible characters when they were doing right. And avoid their mistakes when they are doing wrong. But those are the major reasons why we answered the way we did. And there is one more. Well, and it goes like this. There are times when there is no way out of our situation unless we help God out. Who said God needs help? God doesn't need your help. You rather need his help. Uzzah tried to help God by touching the ark. And he died. So did Abraham. He wanted to help God. So he went for Hagar. Ishmael resulted. And today we are still facing the consequences in the Middle East. Never help God. Rather let God help you.
You've just been listening to Dr. Quentin Pippin's sermon. A continuation will be brought to you later. Hope you were blessed.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.